Queer Pen, Chapter 6. In the ensuing weeks, Lonnie was no longer worried by Reb. He watched the blossoming of the love affair with interest and surprise. After having seen the two men in close association for so many months, the abrupt change in their relationship was a decided contrast. Before, Meat and Reb had barely taken notice of each other, but following the incident during which Meat discovered his hidden desires, he soon drifted into the status of Reb's punk. Reb treated him as such, and so did the other inmates in the shack. Meat seemed to accept his new position with only a slight shrug. He knew what he wanted now, knew what he needed and enjoyed, and that seemed to satisfy Meat. Lonnie did not miss Reb's attentions, but there were many nights when he tossed sleeplessly on his vile-smelling cot, feeling an inner frustration he couldn't analyze. He tried to search himself, to discover the cause of the restlessness which now possessed him. He decided that he was jealous of the association between Meat and Reb, but not for the obvious reasons. He had nothing but revulsion for Reb, primarily due to the man's cruelty and lack of consideration. He was very fond of Meat, not in love with him. He felt that they shared some things in common, mostly in need of love and affection. Meat had demonstrated his affection. He was good-hearted, in spite of his dullness. But Lonnie was jealous of the fact that both men seemed to find something in each other, a fact which seemed impossible for himself. Reb, surprisingly enough, often became tender with Meat. Since they made no secret of their relationship, nor tried to hide the activities in any way, it was quite easy for the young observer to study their actions. Reb would often go to Meat's cot during the night or very early morning hours. Lonnie had always been a light sleeper, and was even more easily awakened now since his talk with the warden. He was forever on guard, expecting to be murdered in his sleep. At such times, he had an opportunity to observe them fucking when they were at their most uninhibited. Very early one morning, when the moonlight poured through the window onto Meat's cot, Lonnie awakened to see Reb standing next to the other man. He saw Reb seat himself and gently awaken the sleeping giant. Meat's arms immediately went up to embrace him, and Reb joined avidly. To Lonnie's amazement, they commenced to kiss. At first, he thought his eyes were playing tricks on him, for he certainly didn't suspect Reb to be the type to go in for kissing another male. But the sounds were unmistakable. As Reb turned his head, the moonlight fully illuminated him. He could see Reb's lips tenderly connect with Meat's sensual mouth. He watched as the lips wetly communed, saw a glimpse of a flashing tongue momentarily revealed. Both men were sighing audibly. Lonnie wondered. Perhaps he'd misjudged Reb. Perhaps he was human after all. But when he remembered the horrible crimes of which he had been capable, the sadistic cruelty with which he'd treated poor Jazz, Lonnie once more lapsed into hatred for the man. He had never shown such tenderness with Lonnie. He never once tried to kiss me, he thought, anger filling his breast. The two men kissed for a long time, Meat's hand searching and invading his lover's thighs during the interim. In spite of his efforts, Reb's cock seemed limp and unresponsive. "Don't know what's wrong," Reb whispered, barely loud enough for Lonnie to understand. "I guess I must be tired." "Oh, you can get it up," Meat answered. "Sure don't look like it," Reb chuckled softly. Then Meat pulled the other man down onto the bunk. His strength was amazing, for Reb was no small man. Lonnie watched through lowered lids and missed nothing. Meat's head went to the other man's cock, and a shaft of moonlight illuminated Meat's sensuous lips and his slow-moving tongue as he sought to stimulate Reb's passion orally. Reb sighed several times, enjoying the onslaught. Meat made little wet, sucking sounds. Meat was sitting on the edge of the cot, facing the other man's feet as he worked. Slowly, Reb's hand caressed the side of the enormous torso, then dropped to the thigh from which it rapidly progressed to the groin, where it grasped the huge penis there. That hand revealed more about Reb. It caressed the cock lovingly, traveling the full length from root to tip, dropped lower to caress the bull-sized testicles. The fingers toyed with the loose skin, working it back, tickling, rubbing, until drops of moisture bathed the fingers and flesh indiscriminately and added to the sound of their lovemaking. The hand excited Meat's flesh, which was soon bathed in fluid and glistened in the moonlight.
"How does it taste?" Reb whispered.
"Not bad," Meat mumbled wetly. Reb began to pull at the other man's hips, urging him onto the cot. When the position was arranged, much of the action was hidden from Lonnie, who bit his lip. He could still see Meat's hand moving about sinuously. He then noticed Reb's hand begin to caress the large, hairy buttocks, exploring just as Lonnie had once done. He saw two fingers thrust between the fleshy mounds. The hand rapidly moved about, and Lonnie knew what was happening. Meat enjoyed the added attention, for he lifted his leg passionately, holding it higher and thereby giving greater access to the exploring digits. In doing so, he also offered Lonnie an excellent view of Reb's face as his mouth slithered wetly up and down the length of Meat's big cock. Lonnie never dreamed of seeing Reb in such a situation. Yet there he was, tenderly, moistly moving his mouth all around the throbbing prick, kissing and tonguing, performing as much from instinct as anything. It was apparent to Lonnie that this was Reb's first experience, although it was doomed to failure, for Reb did not have animal's big mouth. He had to confine himself to sliding his open mouth over the exterior. Animal had been the only one capable of encompassing that rod. Then Meat seemed satisfied with Reb's rigidity. "Come on, Reb. Fuck me now," he whispered. Meat rearranged himself on the cot, laying on his back and elevating his legs. His large hands helped spread the welcome. Reb jostled around for position, getting between the legs and reaching down with one hand to guide himself. Their coupling was a beautiful thing to Lonnie, in spite of the animosity he felt toward Reb. In the moonlight, their entwined bodies fell into graceful movements, sensual but nonetheless beautiful. Meat's hairy legs wrapped tightly around Reb's waist, muscles flexing occasionally in passion. And they kissed. Lonnie watched their mouths working. Between wet kisses, he could hear Meat whispering endearments, words of love and passion, compliments to his lover. It was obvious that Meat was having no difficulty accepting his new classification as punk. He was thoroughly enjoying it, and just as obviously coming to love the other man. At their climaxes, which were simultaneous, their kisses seemed interminable. Lonnie had never seen any two people kiss with such vehemence for so long. Reb's body would shudder convulsively now and then, an indication that his penile sensitivity hadn't become dulled. "I love you, Reb," Meat whispered. The man cupped Reb's face in his large hands and kissed every inch of it, including the slightly saddled nose. "Tell me you love me. Tell me," he whispered. Reb grunted. "Please tell me, Reb."
"I love you,"
Reb's whisper sounded only half convincing, even to Meat, whose awareness was never acute. "Do you really mean it?"
"I'm punking you, ain't I? Don't that show how I feel?"
"I love you, Reb." With this last whisper, Meat whined and made sounds like a small puppy nuzzling it as its mother's breast as he kissed the other man's face and neck. Reb did not seem at all unhappy with the situation, although his own masculine image probably required him to remain unvocal about the depth of his feeling for his punk. Lonnie felt the tears stream down his cheeks. In a short while, Reb returned to his own cot and began snoring contentedly. Lonnie wept silently. He wondered at the cruelty of fate. He could understand Meat's being loved by any number of people, for he was handsome, well-built, and if one went in for size, he was almost without peer, at least at Southern. But for someone like Reb to capture the emotions of any other was almost criminal. It was a miscarriage of justice. It was only then that Lonnie realized fully the extent and the nature of his jealousy. He was thinking about his own abject failure with Phil. Phil was no raving beauty, yet Lonnie couldn't even hold on to him. He decided that Reb, although he might be unconscious of it, was attracted by Meat's physical size, his masculinity, his enormous proportions. Lonnie cursed his small stature and his frailty. He cursed the tuberculosis which had racked his chest and left him almost a caricature of masculinity. He decided Phil was probably not much different than Reb. Phil would probably go for Meat in a big way. With characteristic self-pity, he visualized Meat and Phil. He bit his lip. Yes, Phil would have no difficulty liking Meat. He had said almost as much in the barn, hadn't he? He had kept insisting that Lonnie act like a man, insinuating that he wasn't at the time. He kept calling him a coward, spineless, fearful. But Meat never had tuberculosis. He didn't have the same environment, the same background that I had. He never felt shunted by his elders. Meat had told how people constantly made over him from childhood. But Billy was about the only friend I ever had, the only boy with whom I ever established any sort of friendship or intimacy. Other people always made fun of me, calling me String Bean or some such name. All my life has been one long reel of rejection. It just isn't possible for anyone to love me. The more he thought about it, the more sense it made. After all, to be loved, one must first be lovable. and no one had ever wanted whatever he had. It certainly wasn't his genital size. He hadn't even had that to bolster his ego. He was only average. He felt his skinny body, hating it, despising the day he had been born.